Join the BBC's quest to save the world's disappearing sounds at bbcworldservice.com/saveoursounds.
I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, Friday mornings at 9. Join me as we explore topics like health and wellness, prosperity, inner peace, the law of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Good morning. Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie. Welcome to the show. You may be listening online at CITR.ca or CosmicDimensions.com this morning. We're also live in Vancouver at 101.9 FM. So today we have a fantastic topic on the show. Dr. Karen Good is a licensed psychotherapist, teacher, entrepreneur, author, and mother, as well as a respected leader in the parent coaching industry. And she is also the author of Raising Intuitive Children. So if you have intuitive children or children at all, turn up your radio and you can give us a call today. The number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Or if you're online and you have a question, you can email me at spiritualshow@gmail.com. So I first of all want to introduce Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Marie. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks. How are you doing?
Great.
Good. Well, thank you so much for being on the show this morning. Now, first of all, I see here that the book is actually written by yourself and Tara Patterson, who is...
That's correct. Tara and I are co-authors.
Fantastic. And so you have been working in the industry for a number of years. You have been in over 300 publications, including Parents Magazine and Better Homes and Gardens. And you are the founder of the Academy for Coaching Parents International. Can you tell me a little bit about the Academy?
Certainly. 5 years ago, I began my own dream, my mission, if you will, of wanting to put a parent coach in every home, of offering a mentor to parents, somebody who had an ear. So the Academy for Coaching Parents is set up as a distance learning school, and in 9 to 12 months or 9 to 18 months, after going through the training and certification, a parent coach can set up their own home-based business so they have the freedom of time, the freedom of their own finances, and most of us are doing exactly what we want to do, which is make a difference or serve and in some way help other people.
Fantastic. Well, if you want to get on the air today and ask Karen a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So I want to jump right into your introduction here. I was reading in your intro and it says 4 people in 100 are intuitive by nature. And that number to me seems low, because when we think of children, we think generally children are much more intuitive and connected than adults. So how would you, I mean, what do you consider intuitive?
Great question. Let's go back to Carl Jung years ago, who started our thought processes on what is intuition. He says people process information from the world in 4 ways, and one of those ways was intuitively. So the idea that we all have intuition or intuitive intelligence is true. However, generally, psychologists and researchers and educators divide the population kind of by temperament. Our temperament studies have shown that, you know, there are the visual learners and the auditory learners, and so there are also intuitive learners. So while we all have the brain matter and the same human organs to process the world intuitively, some people are exceptional at it. Some people have high-end skills on the continuum of intuitive intelligence. So just to define terms, we all have intuition. We all have the capacity to have intuitive moments. And it is true that children, their brain is 35% larger than adults before it gets pruned down as they grow up. Definitely they are more intuitive than we are, have many more experiences than we do. So if we're looking at one-fourth of the population, you're talking about a lot of right-brain learners, holographic learners, who don't fit in that left-brain world. And that's what got me started on this years ago when I was teaching children with special needs. They were all intuitive learners. That was their coping skill.
So you're talking about children with special needs, and that's really something I wanted to ask you about. Now, what about kids within the autistic spectrum? Because they seem to live in somewhat of a different world than the rest of us. And is that because they're more intuitive, or what's your viewpoint on autism and intuition?
My viewpoint is that I feel autistic children have high intuitive capacities. You know, for some of them that I have seen and worked with, you know, they would be some of our intuitive geniuses. Some are even stories of telepathy, you know, where a mother may have been having a negative thought and her child may have just looked up at her eye to eye and said no. So I do hear stories of that, and I do believe they have a high intuitive capacity. Obviously, it varies by temperament, but definitely that's a coping skill and an avenue that they are well open to.
So when we think of autism, one of the things that comes to mind for me is the movie Rain Man, and that was about a savant. He had a very specific genius, and he was able to count cards and very good with mathematics and memorization. Now, when someone has that kind of ability, do you think that that is intuition, or is that just a different way of brain processing? Or what is your opinion on something of that nature to do with autism?
If we're speaking about a savant in that aspect, I think it's a very specific brain function that they have. I think it's a very specific gift, and I can't qualify it other than that because that's only been my experience with it.
Okay, great. Well, if you have a question for Dr. Karen Good, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR, or you can email spiritualshow@gmail.com. We'll put you on the air and you can ask your question. So, Karen, how do you know if you're the parent of an intuitive child?
Great question, Marie. In raising intuitive children, we have a chart of the six types of intuitive intelligence. If you think of a child having five basic traits, like we all have, every human has a physical body, mental skills, emotional skills, intuitive skills, and spiritual. Those are the needs, those are the parts of the whole child and the whole parent. So if we look at those continuums, let's look at a child with great physical skills, maybe a sports star. Now, if they have a high level of intuition, you're going to see an exceptional athlete. They know how to move their body through space. They intuit that. An NFL player, Kendall Gammon, was a snapper for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he told me that he could practice snapping the ball 300 times a day, but there was an intuitive moment in every single game when he had to know how it felt right in his body to snap that ball at the precise moment or second that the quarterback needed it. So physical skills look like exceptional timing, exceptional knowing how to move the body through space. Our dancers, our doctors who know intuitively how to move through the body in surgery. That's all part of a high end of the intuitive intelligence in that realm. Now, children with emotional skills, a high end intuitive with emotional skills looks like an empathic person. They can read people. They can feel their feelings. They are sensitive to their moods. And, you know, some empathic children get very overwhelmed in a public school classroom. Let's look at mental skills. A creative, intuitive, an intuitive person with high mental skills are highly inspired, highly creative. They are the Bill Gates. I just read in Success Magazine that, you know, Richard Branson, the multimillionaire, considers himself a creative. A creative mind. He says, I always follow my gut, and I always get inspired about new businesses. That's a perfect example of the creative. We also have the psychic child. A psychic child who is high in intuition may exhibit exactly what we were speaking about with the autistic child. They may see into the other side. They may have exceptional psychic skills like clairvoyance or clairsentience, be extremely deep feelers. And there's a science now to support this intuition, which is great. You may have a very spiritual child, and if they're very high in intuition, you're going to see that they feel very connected to nature, very connected to animals. They have some sort of connection to God that you and I can't explain. It's within their inner being. But to them, it's their feeling. So intuitive learners definitely use their feelings. Intuitive learners experience life. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to read about it. They want to do it. Make sense?
Yes, it does, Karen. And so, first of all, if you are listening to the show right now and you want to get on the air and ask a question, we're speaking with Dr. Karen Good, author of Raising Intuitive Children. The number to call is 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR, or you can email spiritualshow@gmail.com. Get your question on the air right now with Dr. Karen Good. So, Karen, now what about, I have a couple of questions here about intuitive kids. How have you met many children who are intuitive in all of those areas, physical, emotional, spiritual, etc.? Or do children tend to have more aptitude in one or two areas?
Generally, I see children who have aptitudes in one or two areas. I have seen exceptional children who do have a well-rounded range of gifts, and many of their stories are in the book. One example is my co-author's son, Caden. This is her second son, and when he was a young child, he did have playmates. Then there was a period where his grandfather died, and he spoke to his grandfather on the other side for several years, very comforting to him, very gifted in that area. On the other hand, he's also an empath, and when he started public school, he did pretty good the first year. The second year, it became meltdowns coming home from school. He was overwhelmed by the emotions. He was overwhelmed by some of the bullying that went on. He was overwhelmed by, harsh words of a teacher to a student. And so this year, Tara will be homeschooling him. So there are children that have three or four of these aspects of sensitivity. And, you know, to be honest, we're really looking now at ways in which they can be educated differently. The magnet schools, for example, Marie, in some of the public school systems, you know, those for the arts and the creative endeavors, those are absolutely perfect for the kids that have the spiritual connection and the inspired connection in their mind. You know, they can write their own music. They can make up their own plays and write their own literature. But that's rare. I'm finding that there are parents in Houston, Marie, and parents in Florida who are looking to actually design and build their own high school so that their children have different options, different ways to move through a left brain world with the skills and confidence of a right brain kid.
Fantastic. Well, Karen, it's already time to take a break. So you're listening to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I have right now the author of Raising Intuitive Children, Karen B. Good, Dr. Karen B. Good. And if you would like to speak with her and ask a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. It's a good time to call right now while the break is running. I can get your call queued up and get you on the air with your question right away. Again, that number is 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR, or you can email spiritualshow@gmail.com. We'll be back with more with Dr. Karen Good in just a moment.
Holy smokes! I can't believe I'm part of the coolest club in the world!
Bub?
Yeah?
So, what club is that?
CITR! As a club member, I get ginormous discounts on the Friends of CITR card, which in itself, Timmy, I must say, is pretty amazing. I get dirt cheap prices at stores and shots I'm at all the time anyway! To be honest, it feels like being in a club within a club!
Wow! Hey, I want a Friends of CITR card!
You don't even have to be a member to get one, although clearly you'd be that much cooler if you were a member. Go purchase your Friends of CITR card down at CITR, or at special events they sponsor, such as concerts, membership drives, and shindig.
I got it. It feels like having special powers. I go into stores and bam! Discounts.
Kiss what I said.
Stroke. It could happen to you or someone you love. June is Stroke Month, and the Heart and Stroke Foundation of BC and Yukon encourages you to be aware of the warning signs. It's simple. If you experience sudden weakness, trouble speaking, vision problems, severe headaches, or dizziness, call 911. You can help, too. Help us pedal the Heart and Stroke Big Bike on the 24th of June and the 25th. Find out more or register at www.heartandstroke.bc.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we're talking with Dr. Karen Good, who is the author of Raising Intuitive Children, Guide Your Children to Know and Trust Their Gifts. Welcome back to the show, Karen.
Thank you very much.
So, Karen, now we were talking before the break about some of the spectrum of intuition and levels of intuition and things like physical intuition and emotional, spiritual, etc. And now there's a couple of terms that have been floating around for a while now, crystal children and indigo children. Are those the types of children that this book is about, or are they in a different class? Where would you fit them into?
I think that this term, intuitive children, includes crystal and indigo children. My attempt, Marie, is to move away from labels and not to lay any trips on our kids. The reason being that when I was testing in a school district, the children who had to go into special ed, you know, the labels I knew would follow them all of their life. And I used to have parents come up to me and want to give me money to label their child, obviously with the good intention of getting their child help. But on the other end, I have seen that when we lay a trip on these kids, that because you have these gifts, you're special, you're unique, you're here to change the world, I don't buy that. Intuitives have always been here, and exceptional intuitives have always been around. And there have been spiritual movements in each century that have brought out these kinds of, let's call it talk, you know, public finally getting out of the fringe and coming to the public to talk about intuition. So what indigo, crystal, and intuitive children all have in common are exceptional intuitive skills. And I want parents to be able to recognize that science is now meeting intuition. You know, there is a science to intuition. It's becoming recognized in business to the point that Newsweek magazine had an article last fall about a psychic who's paid $10,000 a month in order to make marketing predictions for particular companies. So let's take it out of the New Age, let's take it out of the cosmos, and let's bring it down to Earth. All of these children live here on the planet. We gave birth to them. We're their parents. I think our job is to be in conscious partnership with them, learn from each other and understand how we can best move them through this world with success. That's my whole premise here.
Fantastic. Thank you. Well, we do have a question. Now, if you want to get on the air and ask Dr. Karen Good, author of Raising Intuitive Children, a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. Jill in Chicago just emailed me at spiritualshow@gmail.com, and she wants to know, how, Dr. Good, can you recommend I talk to my son about his gifts? I've been told by several people that he's an indigo child, and also she wants to know, does he feel safer in a structured environment?
It depends upon what his gift is. Can we get that?
It's an email. I've just emailed to ask how old he is. So if you have, if you're listening right now and you're by your computer, Jill, just let us know what his gift is. Can you talk
and his age? That's good.
And his age. Can we talk a little bit about just specifically how maybe she's not quite aware of it? How can she talk to her son about his gifts?
It depends upon what kind of gift he has. For example, let's say my stepson, 13 years old, comes to live in my home, spent hours, I mean hours, and all weekend in his room writing his own music. Now, I was a teacher. I was worried about his social skills, his involvement in the family, his coming on board and adjusting. And you know, the truth is, he just asked me to leave him alone. So the way that I supported his gift was to leave him alone that first year. Now, my stepson is now 40. He did have a very successful career as a rock band member in Europe. So while I worried about it, I listened to what they tell us. You know, how can you best learn spelling? I need you to sit down with me and show me the flashcards and let me memorize them because I'm a visual learner. So the creative learner, like my stepson, needs time alone. They're the daydreamers that stare out the window, and the best example I can give you there is in the chapter on the intuitive learning style. In fact, it was a contribution, Marie, by Ken Keyes up there in Vancouver, who is president and CEO of Consulting Resource Group. He's one of the leading proponents of honoring children's learning styles. And so the creative child needs time without noise. They need time to daydream and write and listen to the music in their head. The empathic child, sometimes they may prefer learning alone. They may prefer to be homeschooled if they come home overwhelmed. The physical child, you know, put them in karate early if you can so that they learn to master their body. But generally, the physical child will show their skills early on in whatever sport or physical activity they love. The psychic child needs to be listened to and not pushed. What we've learned in our work with psychic children that see ghosts and talk to angels and are aware of the other side is that anxiety develops if we expect them to perform. If they're listened to, their own anxiety tends to recede, and so mom and dad don't really even have to do anything. They just have to be present with them. So maybe that will help with the structure some.
Fantastic. So, yeah, I still haven't heard back from Jill in Chicago, so feel free to email if you want to let us know what the specific intuition or gift is that your son has, and Dr. Good can get a little bit more specific with that. Now, you mentioned some children need more quiet time and more time alone, and in this age, especially right now, we are just bombarded constantly with television, radio, media, advertising everywhere you go. I mean, you drive down the street and there's ads on the billboards. So what are some of the ways that we can protect more sensitive children from all this constant barrage of information and radio waves and all of that that's going on?
The truth is we take it on a child-by-child basis. Here's an example. I met my friend at a Chicago museum, the aquarium up there, and we did some walking with her little girl who was about one. About an hour into our visit and moving around the aquarium, the little girl put her hands over her ears and looked like she was in pain and then started wailing. There was no what can I call it? There were no triggers. We didn't notice any change in behaviors. But her mom had come to recognize that when the hands begin to go up over the ears, the child is auditorily overwhelmed, and her little nerves are fried. And so the parents are trying to catch these behaviors before they happen. Tara, for example, has learned to recognize the trigger signs of when her son comes home from school. What will a meltdown look like? Well, he comes home anxious. He comes home depressed. So before the day even changes into homework or playtime, he takes off his shoes. He goes out in the backyard. He sits on a rock, and he digs his feet into the earth. Now, he knows to do that, to get grounded. Or he will say to his mom, "Mom, you know, I want a hot bath. You know, I want to sit in the water for a while." So if we listen to them, they're going to tell us what they need. But the overwhelm can be sudden. For my daughter, it was sitting in a classroom too long listening to lectures, and she would start daydreaming, and then she'd get in trouble because her mind had wandered. So the teacher and I had to watch her eyes, and when her eyes begin to kind of get glassy and I could tell she entered that daydreaming state, the teacher would move her up to the front of class, get her involved, change his teaching approach. So there's a lot that we can do depending upon the symptoms, Marie, but a lot of it is about altering the environment or helping the child learn coping skills.
Fantastic. Well, Jill in Chicago has responded with the email. So her son is 8 years old. And now I want to mention also, you have a book coming out in September called Kids Who See Ghosts. Obviously, these kids are highly intuitive. And now this child who's 8 years old, his gifts seem to be seeing things and talking to spirits. Mm-hmm. She says he seems to know what I'm thinking. And he is labeled as, quote, special needs, but he is very intelligent. So how could the question originally was, how can she talk to her son about his gifts at age 8, being highly intuitive, seeing spirits and things like that?
What we would do for a child of age 8 who has those psychic abilities is three things. Number one, he's just at the edge of pubescence and moving into it. So the more hormonal change that goes on, the more we found a correlation with more psychic activity. So number one is listen. Find out his stories. Don't go into anything more than just listening about the ghost. Oh, well, who are they today? Is there any message for us? That's a great story. You know, not to push on this at this point, but just to listen. Then find out if there's any way that he would like to express this. Does he like to draw? Does he like to write? Would he do a blog on the computer about, you know, the ghost? Some children are very private about it, and some parents respect that. Other kids need to get it out. So I would ask this parent, is there a child, one, that needs to talk about it and get it out and draw it? Or is there a child, one, who just wants to be left alone? If they are left alone, I would make sure that, you know, we stay in touch by having a conversation a couple times a week about it, while walking the dog or taking a walk outside, all in part of daily life. Nothing like, uh-oh, today's our day to talk about ghosts, so sit down now, we have to do this. No, we try and make it as natural as possible. Their gift is part of what they're doing in their daily life. The other thing we suggest for young boys, particularly because sometimes they're a little slower in their growth patterns, is to start them in a karate or martial arts program. They learn to master their feelings and their energy in that way. They also learn to build confidence. Now, I happen to have just interviewed a sensei up in Ontario, and there is a program called Karate Kid, which is a school-based and home-based program which can be bought online very reasonably, and the children can do the lessons at home. If not, then I would, if there's a local dojo where they can meet a sensei and learn to do the kick and learn to scream, that confidence inside themselves to face some of the stuff they're going to be facing in this world with their gifts grows tremendously at a young age, and it's just very powerful.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you to Jill for emailing that question. And it's time already for another break. This hour is just flying by. You're listening to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are speaking with Dr. Karen Good, the author of Raising Intuitive Children. So if you have an intuitive child, if you have kids at all, if you're pregnant right now or planning on getting pregnant, just anything to do with kids, give us a call. The number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Good time to call is during the break so I can get you queued up. Or you can email the show at spiritualshow@gmail.com. We'll be back with more of Synchronicity in just a moment.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver on the University of British Columbia campus. If you want to get on the air, the number to call is 604-822-2487. 604-822-2487. We're speaking with Dr. Karen Good, author of Raising Intuitive Children. She also has another book coming out in September, Kids Who See Ghosts. Hopefully I'll be able to, Karen, have you on when that book comes out as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, because that sounds like a really awesome topic and much more intuitive aptitude with kids who see ghosts. I think that's at the higher end of the spectrum. So part of your book is about the spectrum of levels of intuition, because kids generally are more intuitive than adults, but everyone has different gifts. Now, one of the things that came up in my mind just a minute ago is, what if someone is pregnant? Let's say someone is getting ready to have a baby. Are there things that they can do that would help their child be more intuitive? Or are there things that parents can do with young children to kind of spark more intuition? Or is it just kind of something that you're either born with or not?
I think that children are specifically born with temperaments, yes. But many of the pregnancy programs now that put moms and dads in touch with their baby, whether they're speaking to the fetus or whether they consider it the soul of the child, have a lot to do with music and touch and conversation. So those three things do correlate more highly with children of higher intelligence. Now, you know that we're talking about IQ, not particularly intuition. So intuition is, let's call temperament 20% of a child's gifts that they come in with. So that's the nature aspect. And nurturing is the other 80% of what we as parents do to modify, help our children grow and succeed. So to help intuitive children, we focus a lot on their learning style. They're experiential. So like we said, if you read about a tree, then go out and hug one and study a tree and look at the leaves and collect the colors in the fall. So it's making life as experiential as possible. Hands-on, concrete, you know, touchy-feely stuff. The other thing that parents can do, if they want their child to know and understand their own inner connection, is to stay connected. Hugs, touch, heart-to-heart contact, and all of that, you know, is pretty much a science now that's called co-regulation, but it's how to stay in contact and connection all the way up through the early years. So that's in all the child-rearing books, and it works particularly strongly with children who have intuitive intelligence.
Now, Karen, again, if you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. We're speaking with Dr. Karen Good, author of Raising Intuitive Children. And I wanted to ask, now, a lot of parents these days are very busy. They have hectic lives, and the TV tends to be on all the time, and kids sit in front of the TV. And I actually know a family who has a young child around 5 years old, and when he was very young, 1-2 years old and in his infancy, he seemed to be highly intelligent for, you know, for a baby. You can tell with the awareness in their eyes and their behavior.
Their alertness, right.
Yeah. But now, as he's at the age of 5, and I've noticed he's been raised in quite a loud household, quite chaotic, just a lot going on constantly, TV on and things like that. And he seems to, his behavior, he's angry a lot of the time. And I'm wondering, you know, if what we could do to change that at this point with all of that being done, where he's at right now, are there, if there are kids that have kind of maybe that are intuitive and highly intelligent and maybe haven't been given the building blocks that they need, can they still, what is the point when it becomes too late to intervene and really help them?
Well, here's the wonderful news. The wonderful news is we can intervene at any time. And some of the techniques in raising intuitive children are easy, and they don't take a lot of time. For example, taking a deep breath, and I don't mean into the chest, I mean breathing deeply into the abdomen, actually calms irritation and stress. You know, we can measure the heartbeat now, calming down. If a child puts their hand on their heart, or if a parent, you know, when a child walks in the door, reaches down to hug them and touches heart to heart, or puts their hand on their back for 10 to 15 seconds, that literally calms the heart. So we know now how to help monitor and regulate some of this emotional anger and irritation and moodiness that children go through without drugs. We know now how to help them focus. So we have learned through neuroscience that the brain is not fixed. There's a term called neuroplasticity, which means that some of the neurons can create new pathways in the brain for coping. So obviously we're not going to change the primary temperament, and yet there are things we can do, such as breathing and touch and guided imagery and self-talk and the cultivation of compassion by doing service and acts for others. There's a lot of activities in that book that talk just to this point, to help them go inside, find their inner strength, and learn to self-regulate even if they're teens. I mean, let's face it, you have adults who are addicts in different things, television, food, smoking, and adults learn new techniques to co-regulate themselves. So can children.
So, Karen, when you mention addicts, so people who do suffer from addictions tend to be more sensitive, and which is why that they reach for the bottle or the joint or the food or whatever it is that they, whatever their vice is. Would you say that people who have addictions as adults perhaps could have been intuitive children?
It's possible, yes. What we notice, what I have noticed in my years of experience, and there's a little bit of research on it, not a lot, but what we notice particularly with empathic people, those who feel deeply, you know, they have a tendency more to be depressed or to take on other people's emotions rather than separate themselves from them. So there's a lot of work we can do with children about setting boundaries and about social skills, if you will, social structures, you know, about staying out of my space. There's a lot of work or studying or learning or playing, depending upon the age of the child, that can be done to help children identify some of these things. Ah, I'm depressed. Now I wonder, you know, there's a black cloud over my head today. Is that black cloud yours, or is that black cloud from a friend in school because their dad died or their parents are getting divorced? Lots of ways you can have these conversations to help kids filter out what isn't theirs and learn to deal with what is theirs.
Fantastic. Well, it looks like we have a call on the line, so I'm just going to bring them right up. Hi, CITR, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. I'm just phoning in about the show. It's a great show about the psychic children. I just wanted to know, basically, like, what is my question here? Is this like a recycling of souls, a sort of a reincarnation of sorts of these children returning back to the earth to perhaps teach us something about the future that perhaps we don't know about that we need to know?
Karen, did you hear the question?
No, I can't hear him.
Oh, he wants to know if the intuitive children are perhaps reincarnated souls that could be here to teach us lessons.
Well, I won't address reincarnation. There's a lot of belief about that, yes. Let me give you a different viewpoint, if I may, which is also, you know, to me all viewpoints are valid. There's a lot of increasing belief in reincarnation, that some of these children being born today are from the East and have already learned spiritual lessons. Here's another viewpoint from a shaman that I recently interviewed for another book, and her viewpoint was not so much that children are new, but that the earth is evolving in consciousness, that as the inner earth vibration changes, and they can measure this, I think Greg Braden is the one who writes most about it, but as the earth vibration changes, those of us who live on the crust and are made of the same matter, we also change and we also evolve. So the shaman's viewpoint is that the great dreamer is awakening. The great energy field and the earth we live in are waking up, and consequently, we are too. So we're anticipating that there's going to be a lot of children who see ghosts. And I can't make a comment about whether a select few might be reincarnated, but it would certainly be the time to come into the Earth planet to experience a quantum leap in evolving consciousness. Barbara Han Clow's book on 2012 is a great write-up and summary of that work. So I prefer to see it as the great dreamer waking up, and all of us here have a task. And we're all going to evolve in what our souls need us to be to complete whatever we're here to learn. I hope that helps.
Fantastic. Thank you. I had to drop the call, so if you were the one who called in, thank you so much for calling in. Again, the number is 604-822-2487. So hopefully you were able to hear that answer through the radio, because there was interference happening. So thank you so much for calling in, and thank you, Karen, for that lovely answer. So we've heard here again from Jill in Chicago about her son. She said that when you were describing the child with the hands over the ears, that's exactly what happens with her child. And she said he likes to be left alone, and they're seeing an art therapist. She also mentioned that he's on medication. Excellent. So it sounds like an art therapist is a good way to go. She said he's on medications and she doesn't really like this. She feels like it might hinder his gifts. So I think that happens with a lot of parents. Kids get put on Ritalin these days and anti whatever it is that the doctors want to give them. And there definitely is a place for Western medicine, but it's not always the most effective treatment. So what can parents do if they have these kids with maybe Asperger's or highly sensitive, empathic, intuitive kids? What kinds of treatments should they be looking for to help their kids?
Big question. Let me see if I can narrow it down. First of all, we need to understand what the child's intuitive intelligence is. That would help us know. The first thing I'm going to say is the drug issue is a huge problem all the way down to children who are 2 and 3 years old. So it's not going to go away, and it is growing. And to me, it's got to be on a one-by-one basis based upon parent values. But there are, for example, schools right here in North Texas where I live, after-school program called Brain Synchronization, where kids can go to school and get their hemispheres working together. It has shown to actually increase their IQ levels quite well. A second thing that I'm seeing many parents consider, to be honest with you, is alternative educational means. Do I take them out of school? Do I put them in a small school? Do I put them in an open school or a closed school? Those are questions that need to be answered. Every child with an intuitive intelligence is a feeler. So our whole purpose, Marie, is to get the feelings inside out. So how, you know, art therapy is fabulous. Play therapy is wonderful. Music lessons, dance lessons, anything that a child expresses an interest in, anything that a parent sees is their strength, I would go for it. For example, my stepson wanted to plan a bike ride, you know, like a bike-a-thon over the Appalachian Mountains. It's like, I can't do that with you, but I'll support you any way I can. You know, we planned it together. He practiced. He did it on his own, but it was his success story that made him feel the most confident he's ever felt. How can we provide that to your children? That's the question I have. How can you make them feel successful? Don't focus on the deficits. Don't focus on the issues that look like you're going to have to fix something. Find their trait that's beautiful, successful. Find their dream and go for it. It works. It worked when I was a teacher. It's worked as a parent.
Fantastic. Well, it's time again for another break, and then we'll be close to wrapping up the show. So if you have a question, we're talking with Dr. Karen Good, author of Raising Intuitive Children here on Synchronicity. The number to call is 604-822-2487. Just about 10 or 15 minutes left in the show. So, or you can email spiritualshow@gmail.com. We'll be back with more of Synchronicity in just a moment.
Stroke. It could happen to you or someone you love. June is Stroke Month, and the Heart and Stroke Foundation of BC and Yukon encourages you to be aware of the warning signs. It's simple. If you experience sudden weakness, trouble speaking, vision problems, severe headaches, or dizziness, call 911. You can help, too. Help us pedal the Heart and Stroke Big Bike on the 24th of June and the 25th. Find out more or register at www.heartandstroke.bc.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You may also be listening online at citr.ca or cosmicdimensions.com. We're speaking with Dr. Karen Good, author of Raising Intuitive Children. She also has a new book coming out in September, Kids Who See Ghosts. So if you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Or email spiritualshow@gmail.com. Now, Karen, we were just talking about getting your kids involved in dance or music lessons or things like that. Now, a lot of parents these days, especially with the economy, they might not have the extra cash on hand. I know that when I was growing up, I came from a poor family, and there just simply wasn't money for these programs like dance lessons and music. What are some of the things that parents and teachers can do to help with these children and help bring out their gifts that maybe are not structured classes that cost money? Are there any ideas that you have for that?
Sure. What about putting music on at home and dancing? What about drumming? That's wonderful for moving energy through children. Another woman in Toronto told me that her son with Asperger's comes home and sometimes he just says, I want to go to the beach. So they went into the backyard and they filled a plastic pool and they sat around with suntan lotion and had fun. You know, they had a fantasy day in the backyard, and that was their beach. So I would say use your imagination. There's a ton of things they can do. I know that some children love being outdoors if they're truly connected to nature. And so what about taking a hike in the mountains? What about going to a park and just having a picnic? For my own grandson, there are things that we have to do to get out of his small apartment. And one day it might be just taking a short walk. Another day it might be taking a stuffed animal outside and pretending that we're at a zoo. So changing environments, bringing it into the home, There's absolutely no limit to what a parent can do. Anything that can be done in a classroom, anything that can be done with lessons, can now be done at home. Isn't it great?
That is fantastic, and some great ideas that you can do that are very free or very inexpensive. So one thing I'm wondering is that the kids that are highly intuitive and have a connection with the spirit world, do you, kids who say that they can see deceased relatives, for example, do you believe that they really are able to see this person, or is it some other phenomenon that's happening?
What do you mean by some other phenomenon?
Imagination. I'm just wondering what your opinion is.
That's a good question, and let me tell you how I would answer that. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Sorry, I had to change phones. I don't think that sometimes what the children can see that they have enough information about to imagine. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yes, if a child tells me that they see something, I honestly believe that they see it. Okay? Now, if you're asking me why are they seeing it, then that's where we come back to the book and we have to read through some of the characteristics and traits of children with high levels of intuitive intelligence. So if a child tells me they see something, I do believe them, and I listen. Now, if a parent doesn't believe, please don't say you're making it up. Please don't say, don't ever talk about it. Please don't say you're evil. Just say, okay, that was a good story. Thanks for sharing. So how do we honor this? Do I think that they're really seeing things? Yes, I personally do, but I coach a lot of parents who are on the sidelines. They don't know yet until they watch for a couple things. We're looking for consistency, okay? You know, my grandmother saw her husband after his death. My mother saw her husband after his death. I know that they were both grieving widows. Their stress levels were high. Do people tend to have hallucinations or imaginary experiences like that under high stress? You bet. So I'm a psychologist. I understand that. But I would never say to my grandmother, you made that up. I would never say to a mother who had intuition about their infant's illness, go to the doctor, you're making that up. We treat our children with the same respect. So, yes, something is going on. That's their reality. We honor it. And here's what we look for if we're seeing, is this really a gift? You're looking for consistency. Do they continually see something? My mother and grandmother, one episode, one intuitive episode, that was it. They would not consider themselves high in intuition. An intuitively intelligent child, Marie, will be consistent in their gift, and it will be extended over time. Like they might see something for 2 to 6 years, and then when they go to school, they have that choice for the brain to prune it off and for it to die. But most intuitive children turn into intuitive adults. So that's the best that I can say.
So, Karen, first of all, I do have a couple more questions before the show wraps up, but just so we don't run out of time, where's the best place to get your book?
The book is available in any bookstore. It's available on Amazon.com, and if they would like a free chapter to look it over before buying, they can go to my website, which is the name of the book, RaisingIntuitiveChildren.com.
Fantastic. Thank you. So I'm wondering about kids. You know, a lot of kids say they might be afraid of the dark, or they say there's a boogeyman under my bed, or et cetera, et cetera. What are some of the ways that parents can deal with that? Because that can affect, you know, like kids not wanting to go to bed or go to sleep. So what are some of the things that parents can do with children at bedtime who are having these experiences?
First of all, Marie, I would make sure that the parent understands that there's an event called night terrors that children go through sometimes. Some children go through them at 2, 3, and 4. More sensitive children go through them, but they eventually outgrow them. So if it's a monster and a boogeyman under the bed, we handle it with humor. We handle it with fun. So techniques in the book that they can use are, number one, asking the child, what would make you feel safe? Some will say a nightlight. Some will say, hold my hand. Some will say, please sit by me while I fall asleep. Some will say, I want to sleep in the living room. Can I build a tent and take my sleeping bag in there? Put your hand on my tummy. Take some deep breaths. Let's calm down. Let's pray. Let's call in our angel. These are just some of the things that we talk about through the stories in the book, but they're all valid depending upon what the child's need is. They either may need to move out of the room or just be touched, or, you know, dad can make a big humorous display about checking the room, and the child can check with him and until the child feels safe. So the main thing is to ask, what makes you feel safe right now? What do you need from me?
Fantastic. So it sounds like, in general, I mean, the book is very valuable if you're interested in, you know, you're having children or you have kids already. Raising Intuitive Children is the name of the book. You can get it in any bookstore or Amazon.com, or check out raisingintuitivechildren.com. I think one of the main themes, it sounds like to me, is really communicating with your children and asking them what they need from you.
Communication and connection and conscious partnership. You got it. You would be amazed how many parents don't ask. We all assume. And it was my special needs kids who taught me how to ask. How can I teach you? How can I help you? How can we get an A on this test? And they'll tell me.
Fantastic. Well, it's about time to wrap up the show. Scotty's Scenic Drive is coming up next here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. So, Karen, again, we've been talking with Dr. Karen Good, author of Raising Intuitive Children, a guide to help you trust, or a guide your children to know and trust their gifts. You can check out her website at raisingintuitivechildren.com. Karen, is there anything that you would like to add before we wrap up the show?
Thanks. I think one of the things that I would just like to say is that a lot of parents don't recognize sensitive children or are bothered by them. This book will provide the reasons why and how they can help. So if they think they have a sensitive kid, check it out. It may be an intuitively gifted child.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, and I look forward to talking to you more in September or October about your new book, Kids Who See Ghosts, as well.
Thank you, Marie.
Thank you. You've been a fabulous guest. So that was Dr. Karen Good, author of Raising Intuitive Children, here on Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Next week, we'll have another fabulous author on the air. So again, if you want to get on the air next week, the number to call is 604-822-2487, or you can always email spiritualshow@gmail.com. I'm going to close the show today with a fabulous new song by Kate Kohler. She is the lovely woman who has provided the wonderful piano music that we've played in the past, and her website is pianomusic4.com. This is from her album Clouds, Lullabies for Grown-Ups, and the name of the song is Lenticularis. And so we'll be playing her right now on Synchronicity, and you may be listening online at CITR.ca or CosmicDimensions.com. I hope that you will have a fantastic weekend. Be well. Take care. Remember to listen to your children. Ask them what they need. They are human beings. I know they're a lot smaller than the rest of us, but they do often know what's best for themselves. So I hope that you will check out Dr. Karen's book, Raising Intuitive Children. Have a fantastic weekend. Thank you.